Judges chapter 3, verse 26. It says, and Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Sarath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 40 years. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I thank you tonight for being able to be here at church, Lord, and the privilege to preach your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for those, Lord, that came out tonight. And I just pray, Lord, just for a moment that we would put our thoughts aside, Lord, and our concerns, and just spend time with you, Lord, and just listening to your word being preached. And Father, help us to learn from your word. Help us to grow by it. Help us to be encouraged by it, Lord. And help us, Lord, if there's something that we need to take care of in our lives, Lord, I pray that we'll take care of it tonight, Lord, as we may be clean before you as Christians. And Lord, help us ever be seeking to serve you, Father. Again, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this book of Judges, we see that 12 judges are successively spoken of in the book. And of these 12 judges, six stand out preeminently because the whole story in the book of Judges gathers around six successive apostasies of Israel. And these six main judges that are spoken about are Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. Those are the six main ones that are associated with the six apostasies of Israel. And these six judges or deliverers, by the power of God, brought deliverance to the nation of Israel. At least six times in this book we read these words, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And consequently, because of that, there was suffering. But eventually, salvation came through these judges who were different from each other just as much as day is from night. I mean, when you read about these judges, they are all different from each other. And so, you know, sometimes Christians ask the question, how, you know, can God use somebody like me, or how could God possibly use me? And some believers think like that because they, you know, they think that they don't fit into what their concept is of what a person should be like before God can use them. And some people some Christians are filled with guilt. Some Christians feel inadequate due to lack of education. Some suffer scars from their family history or their personal background. Several have physical problems or limitations. And because of that, some Christians get the idea that God can't use me because I have this going on, or I have that going on, or I have this in my past, or I have that in my past. And they think that God can't use them. But the good news is that God can use anybody. God can use anybody. You just have to have a willing heart. And so, you know, sometimes people think that, well, I'm not what God would require, so the Lord can't use me. I mean, that's the way they think. But the truth is God is not stuck on one pattern of people. There is no heavenly mold of what it takes to be used of God other than a willing heart. That's what it takes. God uses people of all kinds, whether they're, you know, all shapes, all colors. And nowhere is it seen more clearly than what you see when you see these judges. Because you're going to notice that these judges are different from each other. They're different in how what they were doing at the time that God used them. And it shows certainly, I mean, we're shown all the way through the book of Judges how, you know, how Israel will mess up, and then God will bring judgment, and then they'll cry out to God, and then God raises up delivery. We see this over and over and over. And certainly, I mean, that is the main theme of the book of Judges, no doubt about it. But when you see each one of these judges, you're going to see just how different they are from one another. And you see just the thing that they all had in common was that they were willing to be used of God, and they were used of God. So don't ever get to thinking that God could never use you, because certainly he can use anybody. And when we read here in the book of Judges, as we as we've read so far in this study of this book, we have seen that that same cycle go over and over and over, and we will continue to see that. And that is a cycle of sin, suffering, prayer, and deliverance. And in this passage of scripture, we're introduced to our third judge. Now, last week we looked at Ehud and the things that he did, but Shamgar came after Ehud. And Shamgar was a man who had a very courageous heart. Now, Shamgar was not an Othniel, and he was not an Ehud. But he was a man used of the Lord to strike down the Philistines, who were starting to exert their power and authority over the children of Israel, and it was all part of the judgment of God. And when we look at these judges, we can see three great principles. We can see that God uses people who are dependent on God's strength. We see that God exchanges our weakness for his strength. And we also see that God uses people who dare step out by faith to do the Lord's will. And like we learned last week, Ehud was a very valiant man. He was a left-handed man who struck a knife in the belly of Eglon, a very wicked king. And the story of Ehud teaches us how to have victory over the flesh by putting the flesh to death. Remember, the Bible says that we are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We see that as a type or picture when we see the story of Ehud, which we learned last week. And then Shamgar comes after Ehud. Now, Shamgar is a very obscure person in the Bible. But then again, the Bible is filled with people that aren't mentioned a whole lot, or obscure people who appear on the scene and then promptly disappear afterwards. These people just kind of step out of the shadows, and they're mightily used of the Lord, and then all of a sudden they fade away, and you never see them ever mentioned again in Scripture. You see that same thing happening a lot throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'll give you some examples. How many of you have heard of Adino? A-D-I-N-O. Most people haven't, okay? But he was one of David's mighty men over in 2 Samuel 23:8. He killed 800 men at one time with a spear. And then you never hear him mentioned ever again. God uses people like that, okay? Eliezer, another one of David's mighty men, he stood boldly in the day of battle and fought so long and killed so many Philistines that his hand would not open and allow him to release his sword. God used him, but you never see him mentioned again. Or a person by the name of Shammah, another one of David's warriors, who stood alone in a field of peas and fought the Philistines, and God gave him the victory. How about the Israelite maid who told Naaman about the man of God who could cure Naaman of his leprosy? I mean, you see her mentioned right there, and then you never see her mentioned, nor do you ever learn her name in the Scriptures. She's never mentioned again after that. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Joseph of Arimathea is another one. I mean, if you look what he did, I mean, it was his tomb that Jesus was placed in, but not very much is written about Joseph of Arimathea outside of that, okay? What I'm trying to say is this, is that God, you know, God uses people all the way through Scripture that just they're there and then they're gone. And you say, why is that? Because it's not about them, it's about the glory of God and God being able to use people. And it doesn't have to necessarily meet a certain mold in order for God to use you. God could use anybody. And so he used these people through Scripture, and he used them in a mighty way. I mean, if you think about the little boy that gave the loaves of bread and the fish, I mean, he's there, and then he's not mentioned again, but look what was done with what he gave. And so God chooses to use those unknown, obscure people to accomplish his work. And Shamgar here is no exception. In fact, Shamgar is not even a Hebrew name. His father's name was Anath, and that is the name of a Canaanite god, which is a bit odd for a judge. He's also an unknown man who appears on the pages of the Word of God. He's used in a great way, but then you really never see him ever mentioned again in the book of Judges. He's only mentioned twice in the Bible, Judges 3:31 and Judges 5:6, the only two times he's ever mentioned. And the little information that we're given reveals a man who was used in a mighty way. I mean, he was used as a judge to deliver the nation of Israel. And the one thing we know about Shamgar for sure, it was two things. One, he was courageous, and two, he was a farmer. He was a farmer. He was a typical blue-collar fella, planting and plowing, harvesting fields. And one of the great lessons that you could take from Shamgar is that God tends to use those who are already busy. He was a worker. He stayed busy. He stayed busy plowing. And when God called Shamgar, he was a man who was working and doing what he was supposed to be doing. Shamgar was a man who was actively working to care for his family and to feed his family. And when the enemy came, God used Shamgar as his chosen instrument. And I've noticed in the Bible that God does not use lazy people very often to do his will. He uses people that are usually busy doing something. And when he looks at church and he places his hands on folks to use them, he seems to always use those that are already involved in his work some way or the other. And you say, well, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is this, is if all you do is come and sit in the pew and never do anything, and then say, well, I want to be greatly used of God, I just don't know that prayer is going to be answered very soon. But if you get busy just doing something for the Lord, you'd be surprised how the Lord can change things and then use you greatly doing something else, or possibly even doing what you're doing. What I'm trying to say is this, just get busy for the Lord and get moving, and then pray that the Lord will use you in a mighty way, and you know what? He just might do that. And so we need to remember that he saved us to serve him. And as we're faithful to work in the small tasks he assigns us, he'll open up the door to larger, more important avenues of service. But if he can't trust you to do the small tasks, he's probably not going to use you in greater ways. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. So that's what we see here when it comes to Shamgar, this third judge. Now, there are three other lessons that we can learn when it comes to this third judge. When we look at what little the Bible has to say about him, again, the Bible doesn't have much to say, but when you look at what the Bible does have to say, then we can learn a few things about, you know, ourselves, that if we would honestly say tonight, I want to be used of the Lord. I want to be used of the Lord. How can I be greatly used of the Lord to do something, to do his will? How can I be used? Well, one of the things that we can see by looking at this passage is, if you want to be used by God, then you need to start right where you are. Start right where you are. Now, where was Shamgar? What was the starting point for him? Well, he was living in a time and a place where the lives and the property of his family and countrymen were at the mercy of the Philistines. And things were going rough for Israel. Granted, it came upon Israel because they had worshiped false gods. They had disobeyed God again. But yet they were still being persecuted by the Philistines. And you know, Shamgar, him being just a farmer, he could have said, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. I'm just a farmer. He could have went that route, but he didn't. He also didn't wait for the perfect circumstances to come about before he decided to serve God. He started right where he was. Many times I've heard people say, you know, when I get to this point in my life, in my Christian walk, then I'll do something for the Lord. Or they'll say, well, I don't know enough about that to do something like that for the Lord. But listen, you need to start right where you are. When it comes to serving the Lord, start right where you are tonight. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So many times in the Bible, God has placed a spirit upon people in spite of their wickedness, and in spite of their weakness, and begin to, you know, even though they may be weak, even though they may not think that they can do something, God will place his spirit upon them, and it's his power that gets the job done. And listen, beginning from as a place of weakness is not a bad thing. When we say we are weak, that's when God is strong in us. It's only when we start to think that we're something that all of a sudden that we're not going to be used of God anymore. God wants to be glorified through us. And listen, he's going to use you if you're weak. He's going to use you when you understand that you're weak. And God can do things in the lives of people who will admit that they need him. But God's not going to use people who think that they can do it without God. Both in James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Shamgar did not wait until he had an army of 1,000 to lead in battle. And you and I don't have to wait till things get better before we start serving the Lord either. Just like Shamgar, when it comes to serving the Lord, start tonight. If you're not serving the Lord, start tonight. Just do something. Just do something. And say, and be willing for the Lord to continue to use you to do something else, whatever it may be. And so that's the first lesson. Just start where you are. Second lesson that we learn is this, and that is, if we want to be used by God, use what you have. Use what you have. You say, well, I don't have anything. Everybody's got something. God has given everybody a talent. God has given everybody a gift of some sort. And you say, well, I don't know what my gift is. Start doing something. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll start to see that there are certain things that you're better at than other things that you're not better at. And you'll see really quick what the gifts are. And you say, well, my gift isn't much. Okay, but just use it. Just use it. You know, the weapon of choice that Shamgar used to accomplish the Lord's will was an ox goad. That's what he used. And actually, an ox goad was really not even a weapon at all. That is, unless you were an ox. Then it would be sort of a weapon. Because, that's what it was used for. It was to goad an ox. The reason they call it an ox goad. It was an agricultural tool. In those days, oxen were used to plow the fields. And to assure their cooperation, the plowman would use an ox goad. And that ox goad was a pole about 8 to 10 feet in length, about 2 inches in diameter. On one end of the tip, there was a long iron point that would be called the business end of the ox goad. And what that was is just exactly what you would think it'd be. 8 to 10 feet back, I mean, he's trying to get this ox goad forward, and if the ox stops, he takes that ox goad and pokes him, and ox goad will get to moving. That's what it was used for. But then on the other side of that 8 to 10 foot pole, it was like a blade. It's almost like a pick or what we would call a mattock today. And what that was used for is to get on the plow to knock the dirt off the plow. That's what it was. And so you had a point on one end and you had a blade on the other end. That's what an ox goad was. And he used that ox goad of all weapons to kill 600 Philistines. You know, he could have said, I don't have anything here but an ox goad. Yes, but it doesn't matter the weapon that's used. It's what God can do with a person with the weapon. You see, it's the Lord doing the work. I mean, if you think about later on, we're going to study Samson, but Samson used the jawbone of an ass to kill Philistines. Hey, listen, that's not much of a weapon either. But in the hands of a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's a great weapon. And so Shamgar didn't have a sword or a spear. All he had was this ox goad. And even though we may think the ox goad isn't much of a weapon, it is when it's in the hands of a person who has the power of God behind him. And sometimes we think that we need so many things to do the Lord's work, but the truth is we only need God's power, and we only need to be willing to do it. What made Shamgar think he could take on the whole Philistine army when all he had was an ox goad? Because he understood the concept of 2 Corinthians 10:4, which says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds." An ox goad in the hands of a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God will accomplish more than any other weapon on this earth. Think about it, folks. If you realize that when Moses, when the Red Sea was parted, do you know what he had in his hand? A staff. That's it. Just a wooden staff. You say, well, yeah, but he parted the Red Sea. No, God parted the Red Sea. But it was him taking that staff over there. And, you know, when we start reading about Shamgar and him killing 600 Philistines with that ox goad, we're like, wow, he did all that with the ox goad? No, God did that. God did it. He didn't do anything more with that ox goad, really, than what Moses did when he took that staff and put it across there. Why? It was the power of God in both instances. And really, both of those men were used greatly of God, not because of the weapon that they had, but they were willing to do what the Lord wanted them to do, and God used them. And it's His power. And I could just imagine God coming to Shamgar and saying, Shamgar, what's that in thine hand? And Shamgar saying, it's just an ox goad, Lord. And the Lord saying, well, go and use it to glorify me. And that's exactly what he did. It's like the song that goes like this. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a child's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hand is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in my hand might produce a shelf. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. As you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationships in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. You know, we may not have the monetary resources or the education, and we may think it takes something like that in order to serve the Lord. There are people today that say, well, I want to serve the Lord, but I want to go to Bible college first, or I want to go to serve the Lord, but I want to do this first. I want to do that first. Just get busy. Just get busy. Start serving the Lord. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till the perfect circumstances that you have in your mind that needs to be done. Listen, God is willing to use you if you've got a willing heart. And if God's behind you, He will use you in a mighty way. What is it that you already have? Only you know that. You know what talents you may have or what gift you have. You know that. If you don't, you'll find out sooner or later. But just get busy and use what you have. And then the third thing, if you really want to be used by God, just do what you can do. Just do what you can do. Don't make it hard, folks. You know, people tend to make all kinds of excuses. People tend to try to make everything hard. It really is just simple. Just do what you can do for the Lord. Shamgar took what he had and he used it for the Lord's will. And, you know, he didn't make excuses or try to get out of what God wanted him to do. He did not sit back and say, well, all I have is this stupid ox goad. What can I possibly do with that? He did what he could with what he had to serve God. And using that ox goad to kill 600 men would have been an amazing feat, to say the least. I mean, to see something like that. But again, we got to remember that it wasn't his power that killed anybody. If Shamgar had went to face those 600 men with his own power, carrying that ox goad, he'd have been dead meat. It was only by the power of God that Shamgar completed the task. And as believers, you know, we are to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes in this spiritual battle we're in, it may seem that we're heavily outnumbered. It may seem that we're only fighting with an ox goad from time to time. And the reason that many Christians are powerless and defeated in this world today is because they look at the Bible and the word of the Lord as an ox goad in battle. We think that it's just not much. We think that with everything going on in the world, we say, well, that's just the Bible. I mean, what did that do? That's the most powerful weapon on this planet, folks. That contains the words of God in that Bible. Listen, in that Bible is the gospel that saves a soul of a man. In that Bible is the words of God that spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Is there anything more powerful than the Word of God? You know, sometimes, especially during this election time, we tend to think, oh man, if this person gets in or that person gets in, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and we're all guilty of it from time to time. Probably me more than anybody else. But the truth of the matter is, do you know where, let me tell you really what, there's only one thing powerful enough to turn this country around. There's only one thing powerful enough to fix what's wrong with this country and fix what's wrong with people. You know what it is? The Word of God. That's it. And until we start giving the Word of God out to people, and until people start believing the Word of God, nothing is going to change. I don't care who gets in office. It doesn't matter. Listen, the Word of God is powerful. It's quicker than any sharp two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the power of the Word of God, and we have it right here with us. And folks, let me tell you something. When we use the sword of the Spirit, that's what's going to change this world. It's the Word of God. That's what's going to change. And so, you know, we're in a spiritual battle today, and I'm just going to tell you that this spiritual battle is worth fighting, but the problem is we have a lot of Christians today that go out in their own power without using the Word of God, and the devil eats those Christians alive. We can't do that. We've got to go out using the Word of God in the power of God and using His power. And if we do that, then we'll be able to make up ground in this spiritual battle. And again, it is worth fighting, because You know, the world is attacking and tempting and influencing our children, telling them that there is no God. And when I hear things like that, it makes me want to go sharpen my ox goad and get out there and get into battle. What are we waiting on, folks? I mean, think about this. We have young people that they're around the world all week long. And you know, we have an opportunity to teach them here in this church. And we need volunteers. We need people to step up and do something every now and then. You say, well, I can't do much. Yeah, but you do what you can. Just do what you can. Something. I don't know. Take them out for a hamburger. Give them a word of encouragement. Or help out one of the teachers. Do something. And you'd be surprised how the Lord might use that. Be surprised. We need to make sure we use the Word of God. We need to get into the battle and stay in the battle. And it's not just for our young people. It's for our church. It's for each other. It's for this nation. It's for this city. And how dare a Christian stop fighting today in this battle? How dare they sit on the sidelines while the devil and his world are attacking and fighting and making sure that they take as many people to hell as they can? We need to stay in the fight. And you know, and you say, well, I just don't have what it takes to fight the spiritual battle. Well, Shamgar wasn't a great warrior, and all he had was an ox goad. And he did pretty good. God used him, and all he had was an ox goad. He fought where he was. He didn't give in to fear. He did not wait for better circumstances. He fought right where he was. He just took a stand for God, and he won the victory. And no matter how weak you think your weapons are, put those weapons in the hand of God and watch him do great things with them. Shamgar fought where he was. He also fought with what he had. And then Shamgar did what he could do, not by his own strength, but by the power of God. And he enjoyed the victory. Too many Christians today are laying down their ox goads and running away in fear of the enemy. Some are even running away to join the enemy. But can I encourage you tonight to stay in the fight? Just stay in the fight. Keep witnessing. Keep telling people about the Lord. Keep fighting for what matters. Do what you can do. Serve where you can serve. Don't make it hard. Take what the Lord has given you. You say it ain't much, well then take it. Just use it and just get busy for the Lord. And if you do that, the Lord will use you. And you may not see it today. You may not see the results of it today, but you will see the results of it one day. I tell you, I think back to when I was a little boy, and I remember being in Sunday school, and I remember the flannel graphs, and I remember those little films that you would watch about Moses and about Samson and those things. And I still remember my Sunday school teacher when I was about 5 years old. I couldn't tell you her name, but I can see her face to this day. And you know, I'm thinking to myself, the impact of this woman who taught that Sunday school, and you know, she doesn't even know where I am today. She hasn't got a clue that I'm a pastor. She hasn't got a clue that I'm faithful in church. And I don't even know she's still alive. But you know, there's something about a young boy, about a man at 55 years old, thinking back to when he was a five-year-old boy and still remembering his Sunday school teacher and still remembering those flannel graphs and the impact that that teacher had. Why? Because she just used what she had and she just did what she could. You never know the impact, folks, but you will one day. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't get in one of these things where we say, well, you know, the Lord could never use me. That's the devil talking. The Lord can use you. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter the past. If you just got a willing heart and you're willing to just, where you're at, start serving him tonight, use what you have and just get busy. The Lord will use you. And so I want to encourage you tonight, stay in the fight no matter what. Amen. Are you staying in the fight tonight? Are you willing to serve the Lord right where you're at? That's a question you have to ask yourself. The Lord will use you if you do it, though. Let's stand.